Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to Frank Film Club, the club for lovers and makers of film. I'm Maisie Williams. I am an actor and producer.
I'm Lowry Roberts, and I'm a filmmaker and producer.
Hello, I'm Hannah Williams, and I am a casting director.
And welcome to our club. Take one.
Hi everyone, it's Hannah here. We are in between series 3 and 4 of Frank Film Club and can't wait to bring you the next series. But in the meantime, we've all recently watched the film Pleasure, and if you've seen it, you'll know that it's one that you can't wait to talk about as soon as you've watched it. And then we found out that we could have Ninja Tyberg, who directed the film, join us on Frank Film Club, so we thought we'd better do a bonus episode before it comes out on Mubi. So Ninja will be joining us a little bit later on to discuss the process of how she made the film, which is such an interesting conversation. She did extensive research into the porn industry and how she made sure that she was representing everything authentically. And for me, the most interesting part of how she was cast in the project and how she looked after the talent when the scenes are very sensitive, shall we say. Pleasure came out in 2021 and was nominated for a BIFFA and was nominated at Sundance as well. And it's out on Mubi on the 17th of June. And you should really watch it. It's such an interesting portrayal of the porn industry and something that we don't usually get to see in this lens from a female director. The film is about Bella Cherry, who moves from Sweden to LA to make a career for herself in the porn industry. She wants to be a star. And we follow Bella, who is played by the incredible Sophia Capel, as she navigates that world and the characters that are in it. But before we dive into all of that, though, it's been a minute. Lowry, Maisie, how are you?
Yeah, it's been a little while. It's been good. We've all been in France.
Yeah, oui, oui.
Not all together, but you two went to Cannes. How was it?
Oh my gosh, it was absolutely hilarious. We were absolutely awful at Cannes.
We basically just had a working holiday in the end. We weren't organised. We didn't know what we were doing, where we were going.
We went into a Spanish film that only had French subtitles, so we couldn't understand anything. We booked films that weren't even in Cannes, so we couldn't go to them. It went very badly, but it was great.
We had a lovely time together.
We got to just hang out, and that's like the greatest gift.
Exactly. And why are you in France, Maisie?
Well, I've been filming in France. I was in Paris, which was good. Yeah, it's been really lovely. I love the way that people work in France. It's like everyone gets the work done, but there's no like mad pressure and no one's like stressed audibly. Everyone's just like, okay, we're going to be fine. Like, we'll just, it takes as long as it takes and like, let's get through it. And I kind of rate that. It's different to the UK and the US, I think.
I definitely rate that. Do you think that's conducive to creating good work, or do they like tend to go over the shoot days because they don't manage to get everything, but they're just quite chill about it?
Well, we've not really been going over unless people are just like making out like we're not going over. But I feel like we're getting everything done and we're pretty on schedule.
Wow.
I think it's like a nice collaboration between the director and the crew, where he can get it done quickly when he needs to get it done quickly. Like he can move on when he needs, when he's like done with it, you know? So if there's things that do take longer, he can like crisis control and be like, okay, well, we can shave time here and shave time, you know. It's just a good mix.
That's so good.
Defo, really need more of that on more projects. And I think that when things go really stressful, it's really, there's no need for it, and those problems melt away within 2 or 3 days anyway. So maybe UK people are just stressful stress ads.
Yeah, a little bit.
I wish I could say, shall we move on to this film in French? Can you say it, Maisie?
Absolutely not.
Great. Entrée, s'il vous plaît, to plaisir.
Plaisir.
Okay, moving on. Today, as I mentioned, we're speaking about Pleasure, which came out in 2021, directed by Ninja Thaiberg, who's going to be joining us later. It's a film about one girl, Bella Cherry, who moves from Sweden to enter into the porn industry. It was nominated for a BIFFA, a British Independent Film Award, in 2021, and it was also nominated at Sundance in 2021. Let's start with the basics of like what this film is about. Do you feel like this film changed your perception of the porn industry at all?
I don't know that it changed it, but it made me think about it. I think my thoughts were already pretty in line with, I think, what the film is trying to say. But I'm really glad that I saw it.
I think it did change my perception a little. I think because there's so much shaming of women who are in the porn industry, I had always wanted to kind of like have this lens where it's like everything is great and they are in control, so and it's their choice and I support that, and like that's kind of like the message that I've been trying to think, like I've been trying to be like, you know, their body, their choice, which it still is and I still agree with, but I think that then also puts it makes it very hard for those women then to step forwards and be like, yeah, but there are things that are wrong, even though I still want to do this, there's things that need to change, you know. And I think that I got more of a sense of that in this movie.
Yeah, it's really not a black and white situation, and I feel the same way as well. And just from before watching this film, I've seen a couple of documentaries and listened to podcasts and stuff about the sex industry and the adult entertainment world, and in those documentaries it is trying to show it in the lens that is about empowerment and choice. I think that's what this film does really well, is it like juxtaposes the bad and the good against it. So especially that scene with the female director, and then when you move to the next scene with those men. What did you think about that?
Ooh, it was horrible. I think it was definitely needed for the film, but it was like, yeah, horrible to watch. I just hated how much, like, you know that definitely does happen, and you know that those men also just do not see that they are doing anything wrong, and that when they're like, it's okay, they think that they're actually being really great and really lovely. And it really like angered me, actually.
It was a really hard film to watch at times, just really painful. But I think that at like the core, it's really about consent. And I think that it's such a powerful way to approach this topic. But yeah, there were parts where I was like, I don't know if I can keep going on this.
We talk about already, you know, how distressing and just shocking the film was at times. What do you think about the graphic nature and how much we see? First of all, never seen a vagina in a film.
No.
Definitely not that close up.
I've only seen a bush, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought overall, well, we did see some like very graphic things, but then quite often they would like not show anything, even though it was like a porn scene. And I was like, oh, that's actually great that you don't. I don't know. Would you agree or no?
Given all of what we see and the nature of the whole thing, I don't believe that there was anything gratuitous that was not like necessary in this film. And, like, I can't even say that about, like, blue is the warmest colour.
Agree. Yeah. Because before watching it, someone had said to me, like, yeah, it's basically like you're just watching a porno. So I was like, oh, okay, God, like, this does sound like it's going to be really intense and horrible. So I was really surprised when I was like, no, this isn't like you're watching a porno for, like, 2 hours at all. I think they got the wrong end of the stick there.
Yeah, I had seen sort of critiques of that as well. And then actually, diving into it now, I'm like, I think that I disagree.
I think the way that she shot quite a few of the scenes really make you feel like you're in that space and see it. Like, so for the rape scene, they show just from her POV looking up at these horrible men. And I feel like that feels a lot more like shocking, but you don't see any simulated sex, actually. You're just seeing what she sees. And so, yeah, no, you're probably right.
And like, that's so interesting because like it actually is shot in a gratuitous way, but it the point of the scenes and the moments at which it's used are like really important to like the message of the entire thing.
Do you girls, do you know anything about this film?
Before watching it?
Yeah.
No, literally just like that person saying, it's like watching a porno. So that was what I went in thinking.
Cool. Well, this is another one which was a short and then made into a feature, but like quite different. And it'll be really interesting to speak to Ninja later about how what those differences are, because I'm pretty sure the short was like 2013 or 14. Did really well, got into Cannes, Sundance, and then however many years later, seven, eight, nine years later, she made Pleasure. Do you have any guesses on budget?
$3 to $5 million.
That's quite a wide range. I'm going to go, maybe I'll go six.
Okay. 1.5 pounds as well. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, wow. I mean, I guess it is her first. There's just so many different things going on. I expected that it would be a lot higher.
Yeah. She's obviously just got real good taste. I think it looks expensive. Like it looks, you know, she's got cool style, I think.
I wonder as well, like this will also be great to find out from Ninja how much, because there's an improvised element to it, definitely, like the way that it feels and looks. But the I wonder how many scenes she cut, or if it was very clear scene by scene what she wanted to achieve.
Yeah, that's true. Because I also saw that they had some actual people in it from the industry, I think. So do you know how they were kind of put in there? And was that improv or was that script? Yeah, do you know anything about that?
Well, I was going down an IMDb rabbit hole, to be honest, because I didn't even realise. So the answer to your question is, Sophia is not a adult entertainer. She's a first-time actor. She's never done anything before. I cannot wait to talk about her performance because fuck. But everybody else is part of the sex industry, porn industry.
Everybody?
Everyone.
Oh, wow. Okay, I did not realise that at all.
Wow.
So Spiegler's Girls, that's a thing. Like, that's a thing that people want to be a part of. He is the Spiegler guy. He's an agent.
Wow.
Oh, I thought it was just a few sprinkles of people. That's amazing. I did not realise.
I'm pretty sure, but I went down a rabbit hole on IMDb, and porn is on IMDb. So when I was going through it, I was like, oh, look, they've got other credits, thinking, oh, they must be actors then. But then obviously the names of the films, I'm like, gosh, I haven't seen that one. I just thought that was really interesting that, like, I have this perception of what IMDb is, but there's, like, this whole other part of it.
Oh, my God.
They are making film. Like, they're creatives, right?
Yeah, they are. They have awards. And everything.
Yeah.
Love it.
Remember when we went and had photos taken in Bristol and you were directing me, like how I should like hold myself because I was just turning it into a ball. You know when Joy starts directing?
Yeah.
Kind of a different scale, but.
Different scale. No bananas involved. Yeah, it was nice. I think that the friendships, like the relationships in it were really relatable. Yeah, I liked it. It was like wholesome. I was like smiling at it a lot.
She's brilliant, the Joy. I think she's a really great actress. She is, yeah, she works as an adult entertainer.
Yeah, their relationship was really funny, actually, because Joy is so, like, full on with her and is, like, really needy and, like, I love you, blah, blah, blah. And Bella never says it back and is always just like, ugh. But that's a relationship that I know and that I see and that like I've been a part of, and I don't think that you see that very much. And sometimes people don't get it. It'd be like, well, they don't like each other, but it's like, no, that's just that's their love.
The only thing that you might see that on is like, love your bitch. Yeah. Like that kind of chat with between people. But you know, when we watch Fresh, I felt like they had quite a good like realistic moments anyway, chat about like chat between friends, and I think this one does as well. Like there's like a meanness, like a cattiness to a close friend that you can't really do with all of your mates.
Yeah, that was very well done.
Let's speak about Sophia.
Oh my gosh,
Dreamy.
Ninja was looking for this person to play Balachary for a year and a half. Apparently saw nearly 2,000 girls. I don't know to what degree, like probably looked through pictures for some and met some, and, you know, I'm really interested to know what she sees in this in the casting process. And everyone's telling her, you're looking for a ghost, like this person doesn't exist. A year into the search, and she is quite an intensive, by the sound of things, it wasn't like they were just taking their time and see someone like now and again. And then Sophia walks in and she like knew straight away, and she hadn't done anything before. I think she was a friend of a friend. And then she cast it, and then they spent 9 months then developing the script and the character together. And Sophia had a lot of input into certain things with the character. And she also was part of the casting process for people she did scenes with, so that she felt comfortable.
Right.
And yeah. But she's not worked in porn, as far as I'm aware.
Oh my God. That is incredible that has done this film as well as she has done, and has never done any acting whatsoever.
I'm probably going to like paraphrase it really badly, but the scene where she's talking with the other girls and she's like, but she's basically just like, I just love to perform. Like, I love to be in front of the camera, and like, I think that I'm amazing at it type thing. And I just really loved that scene a lot. And I just wonder how that came about, if that was anything that, I don't know, that they found together, or if that was just like always the point of that character. But I don't know, there's something about it that just felt really authentic. Because like, that's how I feel when I look at Sophia. Like, that's what she, the movie really starts and ends with her. Like, she brings you through all of that. It's so painful to watch. Like, it's so confusing. Like, you're so conflicted. And like, without her, and yeah, you kind of like, you can't follow it, you know? She's really special.
I don't feel that at any point I questioned her choices. And like, you're always on board with what she's doing, even though people in that position, I think people would judge what they do massively. But I think most people watching this film would have watched not questioning her, what she does at all.
That's so interesting to like pick up on that note about her saying, I just want to perform, and that feeling really authentic. Because I think that is what it is about her performance. It's not just one thing that she's lent on to be authentic in. So like, if we're watching a first time actor, the authenticity comes from like maybe one thing, like the way that they hold themselves, the way that they improvise or like speak to other characters. But for her, there's authenticity in that, like in her plan. I think the way that she has chemistry with Joy is just like amazing. But then for me, I was really enjoying the film. But when it came to that scene and then her having the conversation with her agent afterwards, I was like, what the fuck? How has she been so small and then she just explodes?
Yeah. And it's like, it was so authentic that I was convinced that she had had that conversation before, like that she had been in this industry. But she's like, just obviously, you know, done so much research and has so much empathy, or like just so much understanding for like this character that she's playing. But that it was so raw. And yeah, I it was really, really a special moment. And then, you know, when she's like, do you book girls that like don't have an agent? Just before that, all of the girls have been speaking about setting up their own company. And then the guy on the phone goes, no, but do you have your own company? And then she says, no, but like she was just happy to do it or something like that. I wondered if it was going to go like down the route of like all of these girls, like hustlers vibe, like they all band together and they have their own thing and they take their revenge. And that, I think, is more of like the fictionalized version of this story, and therefore like not a good choice. But I did wonder if it was going to go there.
Well, that's something that I was going to ask. What did you think about the story? Because it was very, very simple, I think. There wasn't too much, you know, going on with where we get to in the end. Did you think that it needed more, or were you just really happy to go through with the spectacle of it all?
I was very happy. I felt very content at the end. Not that that's really the type, that's not really how I should describe my overall feelings after this film, but I feel like I didn't need any more from it.
It felt like she knew what she wanted to say with this film. I mean, we can get into that with Ninja, but it felt like it was about consent. And then it just, the whole story like just centers around that balance, I guess, of like what consent means. And the story became very, very simple, but the message, for that reason, the message was even stronger.
Yeah, totally. When the girls are in that house, and by the way, that is like a setup that happens. I mean, a lot of this is obviously based on truth. I know that, well, from looking into it, Ninja spent a lot of time in the porn industry, like learning a lot, you know. But the in the house with the girls that the agent sets up, that's a real thing. And there's a documentary, actually, what called Hot Girls Wanted, which is on Netflix, which is about, it's basically everything that this is about. But in a documentary, it's really good. But it just made me laugh in the house. They were all watching Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah, that yeah! made me laugh at that. What did you guys think of the end then? When she is in a scene with Ava, who's like the top gal, and then basically ends up getting a strap on and not being very nice to Ava. And yeah, it's quite horrible, actually.
I didn't like it. I was like, no, don't do that. And I guess I still don't really know how that all like has tied up. I don't actually really know yet still how I feel about that. And that's kind of what I want to speak with Ninja about, because I can't make my mind up, really.
Yeah, it's a moment where she's like, I'm taking control and dominance and like getting her pain out by doing it to somebody else.
Abusing her power in that situation, in the scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't enjoy that part. But that doesn't mean that it shouldn't be in the film as like something to remember or something to make you think. I didn't like that.
Yeah, but I thought that that was the point. I was like, I don't, this is awful. I think it's meant to be awful. And it's like, she's been given a dick. And now she is acting like a horrible man, like how they've acted to her, how they've, yeah, used her. And then afterwards, when she's in the car and she's like, I'm sorry. So she realises that that was not okay. So I was like, okay, I think that was, I thought it was quite like a kind of a literal, like when she has a penis, it was awful.
Interesting. Yeah, I hadn't really associated it with like her then having like male genitalia and like that changing her behavior. I hadn't really associated those two things before. I think like it's definitely good that she's not just like some saint hero who like can do no wrong, because I think that like people aren't like that. And so I think for that reason it's really interesting, but like it, yeah, it's just like a real hard pill to swallow.
Yeah,
I don't know any other way that you would close a story that is quite like linear.
Mm-hmm. So true. Yeah, I like that it just all happens in that final, like, 15 minutes.
Well, I'm so excited to speak to Ninja.
Yeah. I still have so many unanswered questions, so.
I think she needs to definitely answer them for us rather than us go, I think. She can actually give us the answers. So, yeah, here we go.
One-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
time for In the Club.
Welcome back to In the Club on Frank Film Club. And as we've mentioned many times, we're so excited today to have Ninja Tyberg, the director of Pleasure, join us to chat about the film. We have so many questions and we're so excited to dive in. So thanks for joining us, Ninja.
Great. Thank you for having me.
I want to start with casting, obviously. I was really interested. I've read a lot about how you found Sophia, and from a casting perspective, like, good on you for like holding strong on finding the right one, because she is perfect, like unbelievable. I was wondering how that casting process looked and what you did in auditions, because she hadn't done much acting before. And also a second part to that question is, how did you work with adult entertainers, with porn stars, and how did you bring them onto the film?
You know, because everything in the film is based on the research that I did. I started 2014 to travel to LA and like managed to dig my way into the core center of the industry. And when I started writing the script, I had then already like all these characters, like I based everything in the script on real people. And even though it's definitely fiction in the way that I'm, like the way I put the story together and the choices that I made, like it's me like wanting to say something, but everything is like I didn't invent stuff. So some of the like characters in the film have been on board a very long time and they knew about the project. So yeah, I had like a casting process in 2016 and then in 2018 as well. But I knew, like some of them I knew very well, and they knew that I had written like a version of them for the film. So, and most people in the industry were just very like positive towards the like idea of making the film. With Sophia, or finding the main character, that I didn't decide beforehand that I want to have an amateur. Like I tried like everyone, so I auditioned like all the big names in Sweden. I also auditioned like sex workers, strippers. We don't have a porn industry in Sweden, but we were also like street casting. I tried every possible way. It was a bit hard. Like usually when you try to find someone in that age, you can go through certain channels like schools or other type of institutions where you can put up ads or ask people to send out in their networks. But because of the nature of the scene, like no one really wanted to help us. It wasn't like the teacher wanted to like, yeah, like my students, like come pick one of, because I it was so important for me that the audience, to have the audience like relate to her. And so I wanted someone that you like immediately liked, and someone with a lot of humor and charisma, charming, that was like very tough but also vulnerable. Like there was all of these parameters that I felt was important for getting the audience to connect with her the right way. But so people around me, like after like 4 months, 7 months, a year of not finding her, they started to be like, no, but you're chasing a ghost. You've invented this fantasy figure and no one is good enough because no one matches your fantasy figure that you invented. But I knew that that was not the case. Like I knew that she's out there somewhere. I remember one thing in this description, that she's probably someone that you notice, and that she has like maybe like piercings, tattoos, like a weird haircut or something that stands out a little bit, because it has to be someone that is in some way like a little bit extreme, because she's going to do something very extreme. And Sophia has like, she's just covered in tattoos. So, and then I send it out to a lot of people that knows a lot of people. And then a friend of mine who owns the biggest nightclub in Sweden, he met her at an after party where she like came in like 5 a.m. in the morning and we're like stealing the show and we're super like fun and charming. And I also wanted someone to have that had like, because I had this, have this memory of meeting her the first time, and I would have this slow motion feeling of like seeing her, like there she is, and everything is feels like a movie in a way, when how I found her. But Yeah, so the first thing that we did during the audition, because I work a lot with improv, so she had to improvise bidding Bella, meeting the agent, coming to LA, meeting an agent, and like convincing him to sign her because she wants to be the next porn star. So that was good because she came, like, it was, it's like this casting couch thing almost, like, that they have in, that's a porn category, but that's also how it happens. They're not having sex, but when a girl wants to be a porn star, she goes to this office and meets an agent and like have to pitch herself. And so that was like, the situation was also a bit similar to like Sofia coming to an audition and pitching herself to me. So I told her to use like the feeling of being nervous and everything in the situation that was similar to the fictional scene we were doing. She should like use it and work with it. And that really, yeah, she was very good at that. And I was just blown away by her performance. And she had never acted before. And when I was like, wow, like very surprised by that performance, but also when I said thank you, she was like, it was like she woke up and was also like amazed, like what just happened, like she, because she had never had that experience before. So it was fun to see her own like discovering that she had this talent.
So you made your short film in 2013 and then this film much more recently. In the film industry, like the way the like sex scenes and intimacy coordinators and like the whole, you know, protection over actors has developed. How did you, you know, work with that on this production? What was it like for, you know, to keep your actor safe, but also how was it for the like adult entertainers to then sort of have this level of protection that I don't know if they'd maybe experienced before?
No, but actually, because we shot all the sex scenes in 2018, so it was a long time ago now, and so at that time we didn't know about an intimacy coordinator because it's like a very new thing. And now looking back, like I think it's crazy that we like that it's a new thing, that it's not hasn't been an established profession. But at that time, I did that job, it was because I got a lot of help from the people in the industry. Of course, making sure Sofia was always like, that was the number one priority too. But she was like, we got so close, and she was a part of developing the project. Like she went with me to LA to do research, to develop the character, and then auditioning. Like if she didn't like a person or didn't have good chemistry or had bad vibes, that person didn't get a part. It wasn't like a traditional actor-director relationship, but I felt that she was part of the team. And because everyone in the film are from the industry, except her, they were very good at dealing with nudity, of course, because that's what they do all day long. So for them, like they helped, because usually actually they also shoot a lot of softcore in porn, because at some, there's like porn where you can't see penetration if it's gonna be for like a certain like a network channel, so they are very good at faking sex as well. And sometimes if like, for example, guy's not hard, like they know how to make it looks like you're fucking when you're not, so they could help with that as well. And also the way that they work, because it's such a physical thing, they have to, you know, okay, when are you going to shoot the penis, because I have this, it takes this long for me to get hard. And then you have to, you know, talk with each guy differently on what their, how long can you stay hard, and if you go down, like what's the time to get hard again, and because they also had to like get hard in front of people, and there was all these extra layers, but it was very fascinating. But Sofia was at that point, she was also, she had been like visiting porn sets with me, and so she was very relaxed. But she's not as naked as it might look. Usually she's always like, she has like this patch. Usually like maybe we had like one establishing shot where she's almost naked, but then most of it when we're shooting her face, she's usually wearing like sweatpants, and so it looks much more brutal or raw than it actually is.
It's so mad. So the research that you did, sounds like you were researching for a really, really long time. What were like some of the big aspects that you took from that research into the script? And then did you stick to the script quite a bit, or was it quite heavily improvisation?
Yeah, I mean, everything was in the script comes from the research, because I've been dealing with this, with porn as a subject my whole adult life from so many different angles. Like I've studied gender studies with, like, theoretically, I've been part of like feminist porn. Way back I was like an anti-porn activist. So and I've been part of the discussion for so long that I knew that I have, like, I actually don't know the world from the inside, and I have so much, like, so many, like, prejudices. So I decided to come to enter the world with a very open mind and not beforehand decide anything on what the film would be, but except that it was going to be, of course, from a female perspective, and it would follow a Swedish young woman. But then I just absorbed everything and took the time to just let the story come to me. I mean, yeah, we did work a lot with improv, because I wanted to capture a certain authenticity, and also there was still like details here and there about how things work in the industry, in that world, that I didn't know. So that was really good, because I knew that they're always going to be authentic. So depending on the scene, of course, some scenes are much more like important, like there's certain key lines. It's like I've been digging and digging the whole time, so I also left a lot of space for, like, I'm not sure exactly in what direction it will go. Like, maybe we did like two different versions of a scene, or we shot more scenes than I knew that all of these scenes are not going to be in the film, but I want to be able to, in the editing room, like, fine tune it, because of the subject, it's so delicate, and there's like, I wanted to be able to also, like, keep developing it in editing, because it's so much like in the moment. Some of these things is hard to decide beforehand or control. It's gonna happen there, and then it's about being very present and like picking up on the right thing.
And the scene that we spoke about quite a bit before was the scene where Bella takes some sort of control over, is it Ava, the character?
Oh yeah, the strap-on scene, yeah. Mm.
So I was just wondering, like, what you think of that scene, and like what you were hoping for that to make us feel.
That scene came very early. I think it's the scene that I came up with the first. It's been from the beginning. And to me, I really like it because it has so many layers. I wanted also the audience to be facing their, like, their own misogyny in a way that, to in the beginning be like, yeah, like fuck her, like, or almost like cheering Bella for abusing or like almost raping a woman, or yeah, not at least being very aggressive, and because we built up Ava as this like bitch antagonist, and that you just like wanted to punish her. And then so Bella, when she for the first time get in the dominant position, and she has this strap on, which for me is like a symbol of like the idea of the phallus, the penis as a weapon, as this aggressive thing, but that it's all just like a social construction, and strap on has the same. It's not about the actual physicality of men; it's a mental thing. So she gets into that headspace and discovers this new role, and then she starts to be like getting like a power kick out of it, and then have this all of a sudden when she's like going too far, like have this like inner like, whoa, wait, what's happening now? And then like, and then really face this total opposite feeling of being like aware of that type of misogyny that is. In, like, so much porn is built on that type of misogyny and abuse toward the female body, but it's like symbolic in so many levels for me.
Yeah, Lowry had kind of picked up on the symbolism of that. I hadn't so much. I kind of took from the whole film like this idea around consent, and then at the end, like, you see this kind of like flip reversal where your hero is then kind of like in the position of power where she's still abusing that. And I just, yeah, I thought that it just, yeah, made it very complex. And although I didn't want Bella to like make bad choices, like it's not really the way that people are, and it's just like interesting to see her kind of go on that power trip when given the opportunity to.
Yeah, and it was important for me also to, because it's not about that, to for her to also be able to be unsympathetic or like that she can be the perpetrator. Yeah, of course she's a victim in some situation, and she's a woman in patriarchy, so we're always like victims of patriarchy, but that doesn't reduce us to being only victims. We can also be all of the other, everything else, and power is a complex thing. And yeah, I think it was very interesting or important to not only put her in the victim position through the film.
Yeah. Well, you did it so well. And yeah, that scene, we had really good chats about that. And I think it makes you so uncomfortable, but in like the way that I now know that you meant for it to be. Well, thanks so much for coming on. It's been so good meeting you.
Thank you for having me.
It's a really, really incredible film, and we're so excited to see what you do next. And we really appreciate you taking the time to chat about it. It's really interesting to hear you speak on it.
That was so good. If ever there was a bonus episode to need to be done, then...
I know. We've really outdone ourselves. Gosh, Ninja is just really, really incredible. I can't wait to see what she does next.
Well, on IMDb Pro, she is optioned, or it's optioned, that she will be directing Witches of Eastwick with Warner Brothers.
Oh, wow.
Oh, interesting. That's cool.
Wow, that sounds good.
That might be next. Wow, final thought.
What did you think, Han? Turning it around.
I'm just obsessed. I'm just obsessed with any project that really takes the time to research, to character develop, to find people who work within the story. To like that story about her finding Sophia is like the stuff of dreams for me. I get off on that, trust me.
Pleasurable.
Really gets me going. I really appreciate the artistry, and this film is probably not one that I would, I think I've watched it now and I probably won't revisit it. It's not like one of those films, but it is so memorable and so original and so authentic, and yeah, I really appreciate learning more about it from Ninja as well. What about you?
Well, I think this film is so important, and I was like very intimidated to watch it. Like I didn't feel comfortable diving in because I knew that it was going to be such a difficult subject matter, and I just had no idea how it was going to be approached. And I think, well, it's just all in the work that Ninja's done. Like, she has really researched this, and she has told something that's so authentic. And the fact that all of these adult film actors are like so supportive and have so much input, like it makes it just a really important snapshot of a world that I really know very, very little about. And I think when something can be such a powerful first film, visually stunning, like, you know, she's a real artist, and like this isn't a documentary, like this is her fictional retelling of like this world, when it can be that but then also be so educational, like it's just a real balancing act. And I have huge respect for this movie, and I think it's so important, and I really hope that people watch it because it's important.
Yeah, agree. I completely echo your thoughts there, really. The fact that it was almost entirely a cast of people who work in that industry obviously shows that these issues are really real. You know that it's being told in a very truthful way, and that they obviously really trust Ninja to tell that story, and she's really, really done her research. So there's like no better person to tell it than her. I actually think it's a really incredible film. I think Sophia is amazing, and Bella Cherry is a really incredible character to watch because she's so ambitious and flawed, and she's just like a great character to carry the story.
It kind of does make me... I've been doing press recently for Pistol, which is based on the Sex Pistols, and it's like a fictional retelling. And so, you know, it's not supposed to be like what actually happened. But like, there's just no way that all of the people who are still with us who are involved in Pistol, there's no way that every single one of them would be so supportive, like, of the show that was made, right? And, like, maybe that wasn't the intention, but for this to be, like, an incredibly, like, entertaining fictional film, but still have that level of, like, support and, like, passion from, like, the people who it directly affects. Like, watching this movie is going to make you think things about the, like, sex industry, and, like, there's a huge responsibility that comes with that. And I just, yeah, I think that she's done really well.
Yeah, and I really liked hearing about her thoughts on that later scene with Ava. And was also really chuffed that I guessed it right.
So. Yeah, you always do. You've got such good instincts with that. Like, you really... I love hearing your opinion. I'm both of yours, but I always learn new things from you both when we're watching something. Very, very... Good work. Top marks for Lowry on this
Thanks,
one.
Guys.
Very, very good, Lowry. You called it. She just knows. Okay, well, we'll be back very soon for series 4 of Frank Film Club. We might even have some more bonus episodes. Who knows? Just keep your eye.
Who knows?
Follow us on Instagram at Frank Film Club for updates and to keep in touch with us. And if you like this podcast, go and give us a 5-star review because it really helps other people find the film club.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bonsoir, mon ami.
Bonsoir.
Au revoir. Au revoir.
This podcast was presented by Wrapped.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.